Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Laura, my kids love Shark Tank.
Yeah.
I like it too. It's really fun.
It is fun.
And you think, like, would I pull the trigger? Would I invest in this? Would I not?
Yeah.
I think it's a fun show to watch.
Yep.
And I always like Mr. Wonderful, right? Because he gets into it, Kevin O'Leary. He wants the details. He wants the data. He's always like, what are your sales?
I haven't seen this too much, so I'm not exactly sure who he is, but yeah, I hear you.
You have recognized his face. Bald guy. Mm-hmm. He got caught up. No offense, Dan.
Really, you
got
to go right to the bald card.
Just
the most identifiable feature on a gentleman is his hairline. Okay.
Well, when you're standing him up next to Mark Cuban, you need to know which one you're talking about, right?
I mean, and if Kevin needs help with the hairline situation, I haven't got.
You already did that spot today. We're good.
So Kevin O'Leary was on Fox Business, and he got wrapped up in one of these Bitcoin. Like, he was one of the celebrities endorsing this. Was it FTX? Is that the thing that went in the tank? So anyway, he's on Fox Business talking about banking failures.
Yeah.
And we love it whenever there's any mention of Minnesota on the national media. So let's listen to what Mr. Wonderful had to say.
You got policy in Minnesota. You got policy in North Dakota. 25 years later, look at Fargo. 250,000 people here. Second largest Microsoft campus in the country. Massive biotech, pharma businesses, ag tech, you name it, arts, massive educational infrastructure, wildly successful. Go across the bridge. The place looks like Cuba. There's only 30,000 people living in Moorhead now. Huh. It's a wasteland. Huh. What's the difference? Policy. Bad policy. Right. Now, why do I have to pay for bad policy? Why should I bail out a bank there if I've got great policy here? And people have made their own decision, Larry. They moved across the bridge just a few yards, raised their families here, grew their businesses here. I rest my case, Your Honor. Bad policy hurts America.
Well, we didn't need that, did we?
Well, he rests his case, but his case is wrong. So I did a little fact checking. He's comparing Fargo and Moorhead.
Yeah.
Fargo's population is about 125,000, not a quarter of a million. There's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Fargo, now Moorhead is way smaller, right? Moorhead's 44,000 people.
Yes.
It's not like people have been fleeing Moorhead and moving to Fargo.
No.
Now, some have, right? I'm sure. Like, that happens in a border situation. And I'm sure there's some political, you know, just like anyone who lives in Woodbury versus Hudson, where you think, like, well, maybe I'll save some money on taxes.
Yes.
Whatever. But if you look at the populations from 2000 to now, Fargo is 38.2% bigger than it was in 2000.
Wow. Okay.
So pretty good. North Dakota, well done. Moorhead is 36.8% bigger.
Wow, who would have known that?
Moorhead went from 32,000 to 44,000. Now, still, it's only 44,000. Does Moorhead look anything like Fargo? No. Fargo is a sort of a hop-in town.
Mm-hmm.
But Fargo is the largest city in North Dakota, right?
I don't know.
125,000 people? It's got to be. What could be bigger than Fargo?
Well, like the capital, perhaps. Bismarck?
Bismarck?
I don't know.
Let's look it up. Bismarck is 75,000.
Okay. Yeah, Fargo is the winner, I guess.
By a lot. So now Fargo, if you go back to 1990, Fargo is 69% bigger than it was. Moorhead is 36% bigger. So, yes, since 1990, Fargo went from 74,000 to 125,000.
Okay.
Is that because of policy? Probably. It's also because it's the biggest city in North Dakota.
Yeah.
And bigger cities have largely sort of, you know, people, if you're in North Dakota, you got to go where the jobs and the opportunities are. You're going to go to the biggest city. Probably.
And they're both college towns, too.
They're both college towns. Mm-hmm. But if you're a Minnesotan, Fargo is not your only choice, right? Like, maybe you want to go somewhere else in Minnesota. There are other bigger cities or other. So I wanted to play that because it's just not as simple as Kevin O'Leary makes it seem.
No.
And I think if you like a certain form of policy, you look for evidence to make your case, right?
Sure.
To back up what you already think.
Right.
I'm just not sure what we can read into the population trends in Moorhead versus Fargo. How do you compare 44,000 people?
Yeah.
Brooklyn Park is 86,000 people. Yeah. Like, you know, so Moorhead is a very small city.
It's apples and oranges. I wonder why he felt he needed to diss Moorhead on national television like that.
You know, I mean, if indeed Fargo had a quarter of a million people and used to only have 75,000 people, that is worthy of looking at, right? Like,
right.
These border cities sometimes do show us the real effects of policies because people will move. It's no big deal. If you live in Moorhead and your job's in Moorhead, it's no big deal really to move to Fargo, is it?
I don't think so.
No, it's right over the bridge.
Yeah.
You know, same with if you work in Stillwater and you want to go live, you choose to live in Hudson.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, there's not been a huge exodus out of Minnesota.
No, I have never heard this.
Right, because it doesn't appear to be true. Now, someone can correct me if I'm wrong. And certainly the population trend, you say, wow, Fargo's doing something right. Up 69% from 1990. That's pretty good. Good for them, right? That's good. But Moorhead's up 36% in that same time period. That's still some growth. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of growth,
it's
actually.
It's all relative, right?
It's all relative. Bottled water. Our friend Blois Olson tweeted out a report today that I thought was really interesting. Nearly 3 in 4 Americans say they prefer bottled water to the tap.
Okay.
How about that? Do you prefer bottled water to the tap when you think about taste?
I don't really care. As long as it's not, you know, like chlorinated hotel sink water. If it's just my tap water, I'm fine with that.
Do you have like a favorite bottled water?
Mm-mm. Nope, I'm not a big bottled water person.
I don't either. Like for me, buying a bottle of water or taking a bottle of water is just straight up convenience.
Yes.
It's not a taste thing, but mm-hmm. people who are bottled water people, like, can point out which water is the saltiest or whatever. I know, I don't remember which one my wife doesn't like, but there's a bottled water that she thinks is really salty.
Really?
I don't know if it's Aquafina, or there's one of them that she doesn't like.
I try not to buy too much bottled water just to keep the plastic out of the landfills.
Right.
Use my water
refill,
bottle. Right, yeah. I do like the sparkling water, and we have several varieties in our little basement fridge of sparkling water.
We have one of those soda streams.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't use it to make soda, but I use it just to carbonate water.
Cool.
Yeah, it's I don't know. You know, you sometimes try to do the math, right?
You're
like, okay. The thing costs $60. The CO2 container is another 8 or 10 or whatever that costs.
Can you put flavoring in it? Like, okay.
They sell like little, like almost drops. So you can, you can make like, you know, dupes of your favorite.
Yep.
Yeah.
I could get into that.
I like it. It makes me feel less wasteful, even though the finances of it, you know, and you think about the environment. How many water bottles do you think?
Oh,
right. Like, I have a whole shelf in a kitchen cabinet that is nothing but water bottles.
Yeah.
And really, how many water bottles do the DeRushes need?
I hear you.
Four? Six? Yeah. We probably have 15. It's like coffee mugs. How many coffee mugs do you actually use in your house?
Oh, we have way too many coffee mugs. They're all the same. We like the little clear ones.
Oh.
But we have a whole drawer full of them.
I've got a, like, you feel an emotional attachment. Like, I have one mug that has, like, I have a Marquette mug.
Yeah.
Marquette University. I got a mug with a picture of my friend, Stu.
That's fun. Did he just give that to you
no,
so you remember
no,
him?
No, his picture was in the newspaper
okay.
in St. Cloud. And so we took the picture from the paper and had it put on a mug.
I like that.
And it's just funny.
You're giving me some good gift ideas now, because wouldn't that be fun to have mugs made of your friends and family where you surprise them with a picture of themselves that's maybe kind of dorky or kind of...
Yeah.
From third grade or, you know, I think that would be cool.
It, I will say every time I pour coffee into the mug with Stu Newman's picture on it, it just, it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And it's so stupid, but very, very funny.
Brings you joy.
It does.
That's good.
See? Look at that, everybody. I find joy in very strange, strange ways.
That's okay.
It is okay. Laura, thank you. I'm off for a couple of days.
Oh, that's right.
So it's spring break
nice time.
For my kids. So we're going to Chicago.
College stuff.
Seth has an interview.
Ooh, excellent.
At Loyola.
Very nice.
So, yeah, scholarship interview. So
wonderful. Good
yeah.
luck.
Yeah, nice to be invited to go do that.
So. Have fun.
Very good. Thanks, Laura. We're going to do the D Rush Hour News headlines. And in just 15 minutes, local sisters who have an HGTV show that's going to premiere next week. How did that happen? You're going to love these women, and you're going to love their story coming up here on CCO. 5:24 on the 23rd of March, time for the D Rush Hour News headlines. Will voters approve free pre-K and child care for low-income St. Paul residents? Fred Mello with that story in the Pioneer Press, a committee asking the city council in St. Paul to put a question on the ballot in November. It would be property taxes that would pay this. It would be a 10-year effort. But otherwise, we don't really know exactly how this would be set up. You know, you look at the cost of child care, daycare, pre-K, wait lists can run years long. The committee recommended that St. Paul create a new department, city department, to administer child care grants to St. Paul-based providers. And they want it to be kids from birth to five instead of the current setup, which is kids who are just three and four. It will be the first of its kind in Minnesota by a wide margin. St. Paul leading the way, said a spokesperson for SPARK, which is an advocacy group. But we'll see what happens. The year was March 1827. Ludwig von Beethoven was dying. As he lay in bed, jaundiced, abdominal pain, friends and acquaintances came to visit, and some asked, "Could I clip a lock of your hair for remembrance?" It's beautiful hair. Beautiful hair. New York Times reporting on this incredible mystery, the DNA analysis of his hair. One famous lock of hair, which had been the subject of a book and a documentary, turns out it wasn't Ludwig's. It's from a Jewish woman. Study did find five. They tested seven different strands of hair from different sources. Five had the exact same DNA. So they were like, all right, that's the... Two of them were fakes, but they're like, all right, we got five. They found Beethoven did not have lead poisoning. They found he was not a black man, as some had proposed. They found a Flemish family in Belgium that, of course, was bright. The people with the last name von Beethoven, of course, are like, yes, of course. No relation. No genetic ties. They also think that Ludwig von Beethoven's grandmother had an affair, leading to the birth of Beethoven's dad. So what killed him? The hair provided a clue. He was genetically predisposed to liver disease. In addition, his hair contained traces of hepatitis B DNA, indicating an infection with Hep B, which can destroy a person's liver. And that's likely what did it. How interesting. When it came to rebranding itself, a Canadian tourism organization wanted to be both bold and cheeky. And so on Thursday, it released a music video to announce its new name. Yeah, Experience Regina. Regina, the capital city of the Canadian province, Saskatchewan. Not one of the stops on the Colette tour with Jason and Alyssa. So that sound was not the tourism video, right, Dan? That was the 2008 YouTube video.
Right, they've scrubbed this latest video. I mean, it's you got to dig.
So this was a joke, a YouTube joke.
Yeah.
And it appeared in movies for a while.
But it was based off of that 2008
off of that
video.
Which
is what you just heard.
And so Thursday, they were like, you know what? Let's just lean into it. This is our new name, Experience Regina.
Which rhymes with another word that, you know, we probably...
The announcement
to say on the radio
included racy new slogans promoting the city, such as, show us your Regina.
Yeah.
And the city that rhymes with fun.
I mean, they're not wrong.
Some people didn't like it. Some people didn't like it. Some residents of Regina said the name was juvenile.
Yeah, that's what makes it funny.
And insensitive towards women. Is it insensitive or is it celebratory?
I don't know how it would be insensitive. It's just a word.
I will say that in this Washington Post article, there was some discussion about some young people who said they felt like this is sort of objectifying women. The Regina Leader Post... Regina's news leader said it was a couple of Americans who wrote the YouTube video song. Classic. Come on. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
But I'm a dumb guy, so what do I know? Just file that away for most things you're questioning me about. Dumb guy. One more item from Minnesota Monthly online today. There's a list of 8 secret speakeasy-style bars in the Twin Cities. One of them is called Show Me Your Regina. No, 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 it's not. Now, let's be honest. If they're in a list at MinnesotaMonthly.com, they're not exactly that secret speakeasies. But some cool spots. Billy After Dark, acronym. Bad is behind Billy Sushi. And the Billy After Dark, which is a super cool spot, but their website to make a reservation, it looks like it's a phishing website intentionally, which is pretty funny. Cobble Social House, which is very cool in the North Loop. The Velveteen in Stillwater, which I've been to and I love. Sock Dolliger. Haven't been to that one, in the back of Chanhassen's Tequila Butcher. Volstead's Emporium I've been to also. They're in Uptown. So good stuff. That's the D Rush Hour News headlines here on CCO. Lindsay and Kirsten, they are in their own HGTV show called Renovation 911. It debuts Tuesday. They debut on Drive Time in just a minute here on CCO.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, I'm so excited about our next guests. They are on the verge of being giant, giant celebrities. And the two of them are just cackling, laughing.
Yeah.
Why is that so funny?
We never imagined that we would be celebrities.
Right. Well, you're not yet. Let's not get carried away. You're on basic cable. Lindsay... So that's the guy on AM radio. It's fine. Lindsay and Kirsten, Lindsay, it's Uselding.
Uselding.
Uselding. And Kirsten Meehan.
You got it.
Renovation 911 is the name of the show. It debuts Tuesday at 8 on HGTV. Lindsay, you were both renovation experts, doing construction, doing mm-hmm. design, right? Here in the Twin Cities. Where are you based?
We are currently based out of Plymouth. The company was started in 1977 in Minneapolis in a basement in a home.
And what's the company? Your company was called? Called?
Ungerman.
Ungerman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you guys specialize, Kirsten, in kind of a disaster type.
You got it. Any sort of disaster that can happen in your home or business. Fire, water, storm are the most common, but anything, you know, insurance related. We tear it apart, and then we put it back together. So it's more than remodeling. It's a pretty special niche in the construction world.
You're sisters.
We are. So, can you tell? The next follow-up question is always, are you twins? And no, we're not.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed you were twins.
Okay.
But you do look alike. I'm not going to say which one I think is the younger.
I was going to say older.
I'm not an idiot.
That's the third question.
I'm
Who's
not,
older?
I'm yeah. not doing that. I'm not doing that. Lindsay Uselding and Kirsten Meehan.
Yes.
Renovation 911 on HGTV. Kirsten, were you guys trying to get a show or how did this happen?
Absolutely not. We, you know, have this small family construction business. Very happy doing that. But my best friend from high school, childhood, knew a producer who found talent for HGTV. And she had us taking cell phone footage of ourselves for months. Yeah, long time. And, you know, our colleagues took the film. Our parents took the film. I mean, friends came to work with us. And we sent it to her. They started making clips. And, you know, we had a sizzle reel.
Yeah.
You got it. And then a pilot. And then here we are.
You two sizzle. Let's be real. Like, there's a lot of energy
here. We have a tendency to give some sizzle. Yeah, for sure.
And being two women, two sisters, totally. Running a construction operation. Like, that's unusual, too.
It is. Yeah.
I don't know why. It's not that. I know a lot of badass
it
women
shouldn't
in construction,
be.
To be
it
honest.
It shouldn't be weird, but it is. It's different.
Yeah, for sure. The show is going to debut on Tuesday. They sent me the premiere episode, which I watched this morning. And it's very, very good. It's really
Thank
emotional
you.
Because people are in the scariest moments of their life.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay, it's horrifying for these people, right?
It is. And that's really where I come in. I take the initial call when they don't know what to do.
Your house is burned down.
Right.
Or there's a big flood.
The fire department is outside putting, you know, a fire out in my home.
Right.
And so taking that initial call and really helping them overcome kind of that angst that they have and getting them, you know, to the point where we can do this and it's going to be okay.
But you don't know when you're watching it. You're like, is it going to be okay?
Totally.
Like, this is so dramatic. Dan is going to play a little clip. The show is called Renovation 911, Tuesday at 8 p.m. here in the Twin Cities on HGTV. Lindsay Uselding, Kirsten Meehan, let's have a listen.
We specialize in emergency restoration.
What's happening?
Oh, my gosh!
To make that a bit simpler, you have a fire, flood, storm damage, or any other disaster, we tear your house apart and put it back together.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Kirsten.
We're general contractors. We're sisters. And we've seen it all.
Woo!
We really see people in the worst situations.
It's hard to be back here.
But then in the end, we see them.
Oh, amazing. This is amazing.
All right, you get the idea.
I've never
like,
been grateful for water damage in my life.
You're laughing. You're like, he's done with this. Like, but it's cool because you get to experience some of the scariness of whatever the disaster is. But then it's still a very satisfying HGTV
you
style. Gimme. I love design. I need your before and afters.
Totally.
I need the transformation. I need to see the cool design. And all of that is in there, too.
Right. I mean, the differentiator for our show compared to the other HGTV shows is just the restoration element and the emotional roller coaster that our clients go through. When you go through a remodel, this is something you plan for.
Yeah.
You save for. You're like mentally ready most
times.
Yeah,
this is not like my kitchen where I was like,
totally.
You know what we really need? Like, I'd really like to have some handmade tile.
Right. You're excited for it
I'm
to
excited for
come
that.
Out. Yeah.
Give me some Cambria countertops.
Totally.
That'd be amazing.
Exactly.
You're like, no, your house burned down.
Yeah, right. So our goal
or part of it or whatever.
Well,
that's
yeah.
your first
sometimes
episode.
It's our clients' brand new Cambria countertops that burn down. So, yeah, the emotion is so raw.
Is it weird to watch these clips and watch you guys on TV for people who've never really done this?
Absolutely.
Kirsten is saying yes.
Lindsay's
like, you know, I belong on TV.
She's used
I'm a
to
giant
it.
Star.
Yeah, she's gotten used to it. It was very weird to see ourselves at first, but
yeah.
you know, the more you watch and the more you hear yourself and just live in the Minnesota accent, like you just, you know,
own it.
You own it.
Yeah.
And our production company, we do lots and lots of hours to get 43 minutes
one
episode
yeah, for right. 1
so
hour.
So, I just want to give a shout out to our production company. They make us look really good.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we're very grateful for them.
Well, and they could turn on you in a heartbeat.
They could make us look like devils.
They could. They could.
Just a pet season two. We don't know how it's going to turn.
Exactly.
How long ago were these episodes? I mean, obviously, it takes a while to do these projects. So how long ago was this?
Yeah, we filmed them over a year ago. And it was 9 months of filming. So it's a long time.
Yeah.
It's real life, you know. It's that's just how long it takes.
Do you get rich off of this deal?
Let's put it this way. We need to keep our day jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
There.
And by the way, when you're filming, you need to do your day job and film.
Uh-huh.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So,
and you know from talking to other people, I'm sure, who've had shows, the real financial opportunity comes in
shows
and books and all the other
and
stuff.
And advertising, exactly. But like,
what do you guys
way
wanna,
down the line.
What do you want to advertise? Let's go. Let's get the pitches out.
So we started a new business. Not that we don't have anything on our plates, but we started a new business called Practical Home. And it's all about prevention. So our construction business, Ungerman, is emergency response. Practical Home is prevention and home safety.
With a design flair. Let's not forget,
you
know, plungers aren't pretty, but they are very practical, very needed in a home. But let's make them look a little nicer.
I have two teenagers.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
Do
you have like a bathroom, like a plumbing snake that looks attractive?
You
that
bet
would be
we
nice.
Do.
There's a lot of hair in those
There's
drains.
So much hair.
So much hair.
Oh, let me tell you about a hair snake, Jason.
Yeah.
We've got to have
got
one.
It.
Mm-hmm. Oh, believe me.
It's one of the top tools we recommend.
I'm familiar with the hair snake aisle at the Home Depot. My kids are going to absolutely kill me if anyone tells.
Hey,
it's, you know what?
It's real life.
If they don't want me to talk about it, maybe they can snake it themselves.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
All right. The show. I don't think it's quite to the renovation 911 phase for me yet, but my house has been hit by lightning.
So yes. There's an episode that has a house that is hit by lightning. So
that happens a lot here in the Twin Cities.
It's very common.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Produced a massive fire up the side of the house. Fire department came. This is a really fun episode.
And scary.
To watch, but also very scary because the house starts on fire a second time after the fire department leaves.
Mm-hmm.
They have to come back.
The fire department, when our house was hit by lightning, and I called right away because after 20 years of a TV reporter, I've been at enough fires that were from people who were like, you know what? I don't see anything. So
absolutely.
Never mind. So the fire department came, and that is the scariest thing when they come because they cut a hole in the wall and out poured all this smoke, and you're like, holy crap, I'm glad I called. But then they ask you to sleep there overnight in case it flares up again. And my wife is like, pardon me? Like, you just uncovered a fire burning in the wall of our house and I'm supposed to sleep?
Yeah.
But that does happen.
It does happen.
It does.
Yep.
What's the most satisfying thing for you in the process?
For me, since I'm the one who responds to the initial emergency, I really take a lot of pride in getting our clients through the emotional journey. Yeah. It's so rewarding being able to see them kind of get over the hump of the disaster to acceptance and then handing it over to Kirsten to do the design.
Yeah, and because I, you know, am deep in the weeds on the construction and the design, people get to change something in their house that they've always hated, and they get to move back into a home they never knew they could have. So it's so rewarding to see their faces and their emotions and their happy tears.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's incredibly rewarding.
I think people are going to love it. I love the first episode. You two
Thank
are
you.
Just so infectious and really, like, in a positive, infectious way, not in a COVID. But you're delightful.
Thank you.
But I think people are going to love it. It's the human part of it that makes
totally.
It different. And the first home, I don't know, to me there's something special about the fact that people are going back into their original home.
Oh,
too,
absolutely.
Right? It's not a new home. It's not.
Yeah.
It hits you in all the feels, so you guys are going to like it.
Yeah, the memories that people make in their home are priceless.
Yeah.
So to get them back in is
it's
the best.
Good. Lindsay, go ahead, Kirsten.
I was just going to say, and each episode, each of the eight episodes has two disasters on it. So one larger disaster and one smaller. So you really do get to see a whole lot of
disaster.
Yes! But happiness.
And two reveals.
And two reveals,
which Beautiful. Everybody loves.
Really good. So happy for both of you.
Thank you.
Lindsay Usilding and Kirsten Meehan. Renovation 911 Tuesday, 8 p.m. on HGTV. Check it out. Thanks, guys. Traffic and weather next on CCO. Spring Parade of Homes brings us Paul Douglas.
40s will feel pretty good over the next couple of days with that higher sun angle, melting some snow slowly but slowly, hoping to thread the needle, end the drought without triggering major spring flooding on Minnesota and Wisconsin's rivers. We shall see. No big storms in sight. Again, highs mostly in the 40s. The next chance of a big storm next Thursday and Friday, a week out, and it could be mostly rain.
It is 36 degrees in downtown Minneapolis here on CCO. Check out the podcast. Man, we had a lot of great stuff today. So many terrific guests, including the co-CEO of Punch Pizza. So check that out on DeRussia Eats. I'm off tomorrow and Monday. I'll be back with you on Tuesday, going to Chicago for a couple of days. So I'll miss you. Is Henry here tomorrow? Is Henry doing my show?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it'd probably be a good show for once then on a Friday.
No, I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Henry's going to do his show from 6 to 9 and then my show tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. See you Tuesday.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.